Now, this is week three of what it means to be a disciple in our series. Today, I will be talking about the practical application of being a disciple. And I want to begin by saying I grew up with three older brothers. Yes, grunts and groans there is very true. Two of them played baseball and football. Needless to say, I attended more than my fair share of games over the years. I won't say that any of them attended my ballet recitals, but I'm not holding a grudge. Yes, I'm not. When my brothers got dressed for a game, they donned a lot of protective equipment: a helmet, a mouth guard, a chin strap, shoulder pads, hip pads, thigh pads, knee pads, taped their ankles, and wore spiked footwear. My parents took a picture of me once, probably about age 10, and I was wearing one of their uniforms with all the equipment. Just wearing those things made quite an impact on me. It amazed me that they were able to move, let alone play football, while wearing all this equipment. Now, my brother Mike didn't play sports, but he was a volunteer firefighter and eventually became a police officer. I never tried on his police vest and gear, but I did once don his firefighter jacket and helmet. I remember the weight of it. Again, thinking, how can you move in this, let alone fight a fire with all this heavy equipment? Now, I know Brian and Bob and Laura, who have been volunteer firefighters, know exactly what I'm talking about the weight of the equipment. Many jobs require a person to wear protective equipment. In addition to those already mentioned, surgeons, construction workers, and soldiers, they also wear special equipment to keep them safe from harm. I'm sure you can think of many other examples, but the equipment protects their eyes, their ears, their hands, their heads, their feet, their body, and their internal organs. Our scripture today is one that many of us have heard as a child. When you see a picture, usually you call up for the armor of God online, and it usually is a cartoon picture of a child wearing the armor of God. But the armor of God is not child's play. It is intended for all of us, no matter what age we are, to wear it to protect ourselves against the enemy. Just like the protective equipment worn by many professions, the armor of God is essential for all Christians. We are Christians fighting a real battle every day. This is not a playground, but rather a battlefield where the enemy is real and always seeking to do us harm. We need to be ready at all times to face the enemy and stand strong in the midst of the war. This may sound opposite of what a peace church means, but it is not. We strive for peace with one another, but the enemy is real, and we must guard ourselves against the enemy so that we can be at peace with one another. So who is the enemy? Theologian Warren Wiersbe identifies three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world refers to anything around us that is in opposition to God. The flesh is our old nature, which is in opposition to God. And the devil, also known as Satan, is the accuser and the adversary who is the enemy of God. Satan is a created being who wanted to take over God's throne. Therefore, he was cast out of heaven. Now we know that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and omnipresent, which means God is in all places at all times. But Satan is not all-knowing. Satan is not all-powerful, and Satan is not omnipresent. Since this is the case, he needs helpers to accomplish his mission of pulling people away from God. Wiersbe says this: "A spiritual battle is going on in this world and in the heavens, and we are a part of it. Our battle is not against human beings, it is against spiritual powers. We are wasting our time fighting people when we ought to be fighting the devil, who seeks to control people and make them oppose the work of God." Now, Ephesians 6:12 said, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of heaven and of evil in the heavenly realms." As Harold mentioned, we look at the state of our world today. Battles are being fought in flesh and blood. But what Paul is saying to us here is that the real enemy is not people, but the powers of darkness and evil in the spiritual realm that are attacking people. The spiritual battle is real, and we have to be prepared to fight the battle. The only way that we can be prepared is through the power of God, not our own power, but the power of the Holy Spirit of God working within us and around us. Excuse me. If we sit idly by and we think that we are safe, we are only fooling ourselves and opening ourselves up for a hostile takeover. Never underestimate the power of the devil. Jesus knew how crafty and cunning the devil could be. He comes like a thief in the night to steal, to destroy, and to kill. Satan will use the world and the flesh to try to defeat us. But through Jesus Christ, we have hope. We're not alone in the battle. Hear these words from Romans 8. "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And to that scripture I say, praise the Lord and hallelujah. Amen. So we know who the enemy is. What about the equipment God has given us to stand firm against the enemy? What exactly is the armor of God? Garrett, can you show slide one, please? Here we see a Roman soldier. Paul uses the analogy of the armor since the people were very familiar with the Roman soldiers and what they wore. If a soldier missed a piece of his armor, that area of the body was vulnerable to attack and great harm. The same is true for us. If we do not put on the whole armor of God, we leave ourselves vulnerable to attack and harm. The enemy looks for weaknesses. It is by faith that we accept and we trust God to give us what we need to protect us from the enemy. Next slide, please. We begin with the belt of truth around the waist. The purpose of the belt, also known as the girdle, was to keep the armor in place. It also held the sheath for the sword. Now think about the belt or the girdle that you wear. If we were not to wear them, it's likely our pants would fall down or things would fall out of place. I'm just making it real here, folks. Now, the belt of truth means protecting yourself with the truth of God. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Unless we practice truth and understand that Jesus is truth, we cannot wield the sword, which is the word of God. Satan is the great deceiver. He is a liar. Once we allow deceit and lies to be a part of our actions, things begin to fall apart. One lie leads to another and another until the truth is hard to find. And we always pay a price for our lies. Think about David when he had the affair with Bathsheba. It led to him having to kill the husband of Bathsheba to try and cover his lie. Did it work? No. No good comes from untruth, so fasten the belt of truth tightly around your waist. Next slide, please. The breastplate protected the soldier's body from neck to waist on the front and the back. Wearing the breastplate of righteousness protects the heart from Satan's attack. It symbolizes the righteousness we have in Jesus Christ. Satan will accuse us at every turn, but it is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that we can guard against these accusations. Righteousness means right living, obeying God and avoiding sin. While we still sin every day, we know that when we acknowledge our sins and seek God's forgiveness, we return to the path of righteous living. Wiersbe says this: "The life we live either fortifies us against Satan's attacks or makes it easier for Satan to defeat us." It's not easy, but it's necessary. 2 Corinthians 6, "As servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, in hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left." Put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect yourself against the accuser. Next slide, please. The shoes of the Roman soldier had hobnails on the bottom. The purpose of these hobnails is similar to spiked cleats for a football player. It ensures traction and gives better footing. The same is true for the shoes of the gospel of peace. They help us to stand firm in God. When we are at peace with God and at peace with one another, we defeat the devil. In addition to being at peace with God and neighbor, the shoes of the gospel of peace have another meaning: being prepared to share the gospel at all times. Our world is in need of hearing the word of God and accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. We are the feet of Christ carrying the good news wherever we go. We need to ask ourselves as a church and as individuals, what are we doing to share the good news of Jesus with others? How are we spreading the gospel of peace each and every day with all we meet? Next slide, please. The shield of the Roman soldier at Jesus' time looked a bit different than the round shield we usually picture in our minds. It was approximately 4 feet tall by 2 feet wide, and they were able to be interlocked with other shields, as seen here in the lower picture. This protected them from the arrows that were coming from overhead and in front of them. This method of joining with others, marching into the battle, and working together to protect one another is something that can be reflected in the Christian community as well. We're not alone in the battle against the enemy. We have fellow sisters and brothers in Christ standing beside us to further the kingdom of God here on earth. The shield of faith protects us from the flaming arrows that Satan is sending our way. These arrows are negativity, hateful thoughts about others and ourselves, doubts, desires of the flesh, and lies. Our faith in God keeps the arrows from wounding us. The shield of faith reminds us who God is and who we are in God. How can we remind ourselves of this? By meditating on a verse or passage of Scripture every day that reminds us of these things. For example, Psalm 28, "The Lord is my strength and my shield, my heart trusts in him and he helps me." 2 Thessalonians 3, "But the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." And Psalm 5, "But let all who take refuge in you be glad, let them ever sing for joy." Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous, and you surround them with your favor as with a shield. The shield of faith will protect you from the flaming arrows of the enemy. Hold it up to protect yourself and to protect others. Next slide, please. The Roman helmet had flaps that covered the back of the neck and the ears and the cheeks. It protected the soldier's head from attack. Now, the helmet of salvation protects our minds from Satan's attack. Eve was persuaded by Satan to eat the forbidden fruit. Just like Eve, we may be persuaded to sin and be led astray. When we allow God to be in control of our minds, we cannot be deceived by Satan. 2 Corinthians 11 says this, "But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Sincere and pure devotion to Christ. What are our minds focused on? Are they focused on what Christ has called us to do, or are they focused somewhere else on what we want? God sees into the heart. God knows our motives and our desires. Wearing the helmet of salvation protects our minds from the cunning tricks of Satan. The helmet of salvation also reminds us of the gift of salvation we have through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We need to daily meditate on what that means and how we can overcome all of our fears. I'd like you to say with me John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believed in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus did not come here to destroy us, but to save us and bring us back into right standing with God. Since Jesus did not come to condemn the world, we ought to be careful not to condemn the world through our actions. Remember, the battle is with the enemy, which is not of flesh and blood. Put on the helmet of salvation on your head to protect your mind from the attack of Satan. Next slide, please. The sword was the only offensive weapon that Paul refers to in the armor of God. The rest have all been defensive weapons of protection. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Hebrews 4 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates in and penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Just as the soldier's sword pierced the body, the sword of the Spirit pierces us, and it pierces us to our soul. Remember when they came to arrest Jesus. The disciples felt that they needed to take the sword and they needed to attack and protect Jesus. In fact, one of them pulled a sword out and cut off the right ear of the servant to the high priest. What did Jesus do? Jesus said, "Enough." And he touched his ear and he healed him. Violence is not the way to use the sword of the Spirit. Wiersbe says this: "A physical sword wounds to hurt and kill, while the sword of the Spirit wounds to heal and give life." Let me say that again. A physical sword wounds to hurt and kill, while the sword of the Spirit wounds to heal and give life. He continues by saying, "Satan tried to use the word of God to confuse us, so it is important that we know every word that God has given us. You can prove anything by the Bible. It's true. If you take a verse out of context, leave out words, or apply verses to Christians today that do not really apply." If we think that this is only applies to the world outside the church walls, then we are mistaken. The churches in America are in decline. It's a sad fact, but very true. Why are they in decline? I believe it's because we have not put on the full armor of God to protect ourselves from the enemy. Fortunately, that is something that can and must change. It's not too late for us to suit up and fight the battle together. Christians around the world need to suit up and stand firm against the enemy. How do we do that? Next slide, please. Through prayer. It is not by our own power that we put on the armor of God and march into battle. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. What kind of prayer, you say? First, pray without ceasing. In all things, pray. In the good, the bad, the easy, and the difficult, pray. Second, it's important to pray for the things we want, but we also need to offer prayers of thanksgiving, intercession, and confession. There's a simple formula that I would like to give you for praying. The anagram is ACTS, A-C-T-S, ACTS. The first, adoration, meaning give God the glory. Confession, confess your sins before the Lord, be cleansed daily. Intercession, pray for others, not just your needs. And supplication, a time for you to ask for what you need. Adoration, confession, intercession, supplication. A simple method of prayer, but a very powerful one. Third, pray to the Father, through the Son, and in the Spirit. One of my favorite verses of Scripture, passage of Scripture, comes from Romans 8. In the same way the Spirit helps our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Sometimes I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to pray. But the Spirit knows what's in my heart. The Spirit knows what's in your heart and your desires. And the Spirit prays for us. How wonderful is that? We're never alone in this battle. God is always there. So it's important to come to the battle prepared. We need to put on the belt of truth, which holds everything together. And Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. The breastplate of righteousness, which is our right living with God. The shoes of the gospel, which are firmly planted in Jesus as we are peaceful with one another and we share the good news of Jesus Christ. The shield of faith, which protects us from the flaming arrows of Satan. The helmet of salvation, which protects our minds to keep them focused on God. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And in order to put on the armor of God, we must pray in all things to God, through the Son, and in the Spirit. One final thought about the armor of God. When I tried on my brother's football equipment and the firefighter's jacket, I felt the heaviness of them. The weight was a challenge. But when I put on the armor of God, the weight has been lifted. For you see, I am no longer carrying the burdens and the weight of the world on my shoulders. Rather, I am being equipped to walk the journey, to fight the battle, and I'm not alone in the battle. For if God is for us, who can be against us? Sisters and brothers, we all must put on the armor of God every day. Be ready at a moment's notice to stand firm against the enemy, for the battle is all around us at all times. Are you ready and willing to put on the armor of God? Will you be a soldier for God in this fight? Amen.